Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium subscribers, Jessica Halford Porter, Christy Doherty, and Claudia Catalina. We love you, girls. Now on with the show.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Watch What Crappens, a very special Ladies of London episode in an Australian accent. I'm Ronnie Karam from Trash Talk TV, and I'm with the gorgeous, talented, and completely American Ben Mandelker. Hi, Ben.
Hi there. I'm so American. I'm taking on a yokel local accent. Local yokel accent. I can't even say it right.
I'm just warning anybody listening to this, obviously, because who else would I be talking to, that we're already kind of loopy. It's like an extra episode. It's a Friday.
Yeah.
And it's the afternoon. It's almost dark.
Soups loops. We're soups loops. We're doing this episode because we spent 2 hours talking about Below Deck on our previous episode because we had Kate Chastain, who's one of the stars of the show. She was on it. So for the first hour, she answered all our questions. In the second hour, we just recapped the show. And we thought, you know what, let's call it a day. But Ladies of London was so good this week, we couldn't just ignore it.
Ladies of London is so good. It's but so funny and ridiculous. And I've got so many screenshots from it. I'm loving it.
It's so good. And if you are new to this podcast, because I think we're getting a bunch of new listeners, thanks to two wonderful ladies. One is Heather McDonald, who had us on Juicy Scoop this week. And we have gotten so much love from her. Also, Molly McAlee or Malls, you were on her podcast just this week. I think that also came out yesterday. Please advise. So that was really cool. Plus, very excited to say that our podcast has reached number 3 on iTunes for their TV and film podcast, which is
absurd. That's crazy, right? We've never been on that list before. We've been on the episode list, but I don't think we've been on the overall, have we? That was pretty cool.
No, overall, we're usually around 66 or something like that.
But that's awesome.
But right now, we have skyrocketed to number 3. We are in striking distance of NPR, so watch out, Terry motherfucking Gross.
Today, we will be talking about ladies. Ladies in London.
I can make sound effects. I do NPR sound effects. Like
we
diner.
Should, man. We should have an entire NPR.
Yes.
And then Caroline Stansberry gets into a car.
At the Bedford Diner in Bedford, New York, life has been going on for 30 years, just same as always.
That works with the train.
It does. Yeah, it worked. The train station has always been a reliable source of customers for the Bedford Diner. And I'm still going. I'm doing the NPR thing.
Let's do it the whole time. I'm down for a Ladies of London NPR episode. NPR. It's probably the only one Annabelle will listen to. She'll be like, oh, Gran! Rock and roll, Gran! So we'll get into it right now. Just first, our little house cleaning things. Come over to watchwhatcrappens.com to find all of our links to everywhere. We're getting consolidated and cleaned up over there. So every episode will be findable there. Also come to watch facebook.com/watchwhatcrappens because that is where you talk shit all week long with us about these shows that come out. We have live show threads and then these episode threads that you can talk on. So fun over there. We're getting all of our Housewives news from there, and you should too.
Yeah.
And, you know, Twitter, et cetera. Find it on watchwhatcrappens.com. And that's it.
Yeah, and Patreon. Patreon.
Oh, yes. And thank you for everybody at Patreon. Go to patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens to find all the bonus episodes. Those have been so much fun.
Yeah.
And they're all there.
If you're new to the podcast, once a week we do a whole other, like, half an hour to an hour's worth of content that is just for our Patreon subscribers. So if you want to hear that, if you still want to hear our crazy voices, go to Patreon and you'll figure out all the things you can do.
All different levels and stuff. You want to talk about some PBS action, that's it over there. We've got NPR and PBS going at the same time. Different packages you can do to help poor adults in need in Hollywood.
Oh, man. Well, thank God it's Friday. I was just telling Ronnie before this podcast started, I was working in a coffee shop, which is so L.A. And then on top of that, a reality show crew came in and started setting up, which is even more L.A. And this podcast almost didn't happen because I almost bailed so I could be in the background of a reality show. Which would be so L.A.
Wouldn't it? To just be like, sorry, can't do my work today because I'm an extra in a reality show. So
I was so excited. The camera was the angle. They set up two cameras and a lighting rig and everything. because we're going to have two people sit at this table in the Tiago coffee shop, and they're going to talk to each other, and one camera was directly facing me, and I was like, this is it. But
this is it.
And the PA even came over, and they're like, we're so sorry, but you're going to be in the shot. Do you mind if we sign a release and everything? And I'm like, oh, yeah, sure. And then they said it wasn't going to start for another hour. And I was like, I got a podcast to do.
That would have been funny that you're in the scene. Sir, yeah. Could you please re-eat that piece of bread? We need some consistency in this show.
It's good. I haven't showered yet, and my hair is a mess. So I wasn't camera ready. I wasn't BET camera ready. It was for show BET. So,
well, anyway. Ben, I'm sure that it's all gonna work out in the end. You know, that wasn't your Matt Damon and Ben Affleck moment, because they were extras. And trust me, my dad reminds me of that all the time. He'll be like, "What are you doing with your career?" "Not much, Dad. Made a desk at my couch." And he's like, well, you know, Ben Affleck and Matt Damon were extras. And that's how they got started. I was like, yeah. And they wrote that whole movie for themselves while they were extras. Get out of here. It's not because they were extras. Yeah.
Listen, living in L.A., everyone's an extra at some point. Everyone has had a gig where they're an extra on a reality show or whatever. I remember in 2005, I believe, I decided to be an extra. I wrote into a Craigslist ad that was like, you want to be in the intro to Monday Night Football? And I was like, yeah, that seems fun. You get paid $100 and I'll get to be in that intro because I watch Monday Night Football and it'll be fun. I'll watch the intro and maybe I'll see me. It'll be really cool. And I went and I spent a whole day on this set with Hank Williams Jr. And I had to do this ridiculous thing where I was walking to the camera with my fingers snapping like I was in Grease or something. Like, yeah, Monday Night Football. And I never even made it to the final show. That was my big extra moment.
Oh, yeah. We've all had those extra days. And, I could never do it. I went and signed up at the Central Casting place three times probably over the past 10 years. And I'm so disgusted with humanity by the time I leave. nothing will gross you out like being in an entire room of not just actors, but not actors.
Yeah.
They're all doing yoga poses and deep breathing and going over their non-lines. I'm like, look at you muttering nothing. They'll be doing vocal warm-ups in the corner. Ma, 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 you're an extra. What do you, stop. Calm down over there.
Yeah, everyone wants attention. Everyone wants to be discovered, and it's really awful. It's the most thirsty place in all of L.A.
Vicky needs to leave really pretty models alone who are actually working for a living on sushi tables, and she needs to march on down to the Central Casting and just say, get a job. Get a job. Your parents are sad. Get a job.
Yeah.
Love you, extras.
Love you.
Speaking of not extras and adults with a lot of money.
Yes, the exact opposite of the whole thing.
Let's get into some chick music.
Yeah, waking up. I'm a happy girl, you're a happy girl too, let's have a happy fun day. That was my impersonation of the Ladies of London generic stock music that they play at the top of the show.
That was pretty much it. It was like, it's a day after dinner and we're waking up, because girls and girls wake up.
But there's always something kind of adolescent, rebellious about it. I wake up when I want to wake up and I don't make my bed. I just want to throw up because I'm a girl. And you're like, what is this stupid song? I don't want orange juice. I just want to drink other things.
Because I'm a girl.
It's always some lame protest about something that declares this teenage independence over something their mom is making them do.
Basically, every song is Juliet complaining on FaceTime to her husband. You know it.
Yeah, it's I don't want Thanksgiving in a restaurant. I only want it where there's couches to sit on.
I want to unbutton my pants at Thanksgiving.
I just want to feel like I'm at home.
I love that they have all this girl power. They've been partying all night. And then it cuts to Marissa and Julie. And how was your night? I fell asleep early. Me too. Yeah. Girl power. Keep this party music going on.
I know. And then there was a moment of Julie, she couldn't find a door. I just wrote down a note. Julie can't find the door. I don't even know what that's about. Was she trying to find a door? And she, how did she not find a door? And then I could totally imagine and be like, oh, this is not a door. This is a window. This is a wall. Oh, God. There's no door. How did I get in this room in the first place?
Deep breathing. Namaste. Namaste, Julie. Deep breathing. Tree puffs. Tree puffs. I can do it. Give me five. So they're going be asleep and girl code music or whatever, and then it stops. That's my favorite move in these songs, that's is when it like immediately stops and it's just like Annabelle. Closing the door loudly.
Yeah, I love that, like, because the thing is, all season whenever it stops, it shows like, here's a slice of life that kind of encapsulate what this person's all about. So this episode stops, you just see Annabelle just walking away from the camera down the hallway in silence.
It's like music stops, Annabelle staring at a lamp.
And going at girls.
It's like music stops, Annabelle's like opening up a package of doilies and putting them around.
She's like polishing rifles from the 1800s. So good. This was kind of Annabelle's episode for me. I just thought she was so fucking funny in this episode because she had to actually speak more.
She was funny, and Caroline Fleming was cracking me up all episode
two. She's turned into like an actory full of shit one. You know, I saw that one coming, but I wanted to believe she was just wonderful and genuine. But no. Are they ever? Still like her.
Love it.
But,
the bitchier she gets, the more I like her, actually. That's the way it goes with Brits or Europeans, I guess.
That they can get that whole like new agey American, wow man, everything's okay, I'm grounded, but man, the second you piss them off, forget about it.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah, don't piss off Caroline Fleming. She's like, I am the goddaughter of Count Prebin Arflet Lovig.
My father stole a bird bag from another person's father in 1702.
Wow. I hope they make a miniseries about that. Sounds fascinating. So we open with Caroline, of course, the queen. Yes. The other Caroline. The poor Caroline, darling, at this point. Caroline Fleming. Caroline and Fleming in bed in the morning.
Let's just call her poor Caroline. It's like on Big Brother this past season when they were the twins and they were like Fat Liz and Thin Liz, and Fat Liz was just like Thin Liz, like maybe one extra pound. Poor Caroline.
Poor Caroline. So we start there, and she's like, where's Luke? Where is he? How can he not be here? I should fire him. You know, being a diva.
And then
Luke in his jumpsuit coming down the hallway with bags and bags of makeup.
I know. Well, I love that he's like, the Caroline's like, well, Luke thinks he's on holiday, which is, I love that. That, because Luke thinks, you know, as much as you're like, oh, Luke is my best friend. I love Luke. Where's Luke? He's fired. Like, no, he's on your payroll. He's not your best friend.
Well, she's kind of like that with her friends, too. She was like that with Caprice last year. She's like, listen here, Caprice. I don't appreciate you talking to me from behind the glass wall. I can't really hear you, and it's not my job to listen. That's Pauline's job. Valentina, fire Clarice. Clarice is like, whoa. I'm on the cover of a newspaper instead of Kate Winslet. Wait, what's the lady's name? Kate. Princess Caprice. Kate.
Kate. Oh, no, Kate. Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Not Winslet. That would be amazing, though, if Kate Winslet became the princess.
No, it's Kate Middleton.
Middleton, darling.
Valentina, tear up the Daily Mail. I don't want to see Caprice's face on this at all. Pauline, take all the Daily Mails down to the basement. Rainier, light them on fire. Now, slowly.
Amber, please go get a dog from the pound so it can pee on said papers.
Bad news, Mum. Still on the digital edition. Oh, for crying out loud, I'm going to throw out all the laptops.
Valentina, burn down the internet. Internet, stop. Internet, stop. Why isn't the internet stopping? The internet doesn't listen to me. Murder the internet.
Bad news, ma'am. Can't stop the internet. Oh, well, fine. All right, you know what? Just take a sledgehammer and just crash. Destroy every monitor you see until it's all done, all right? I'm going up to Stonehenge.
Valentina, email Google and let them know they're disinvited to my summer home. Amber, make sure she gets the bone out of her mouth. Dog, pee on paper.
So what I loved is that so Luke finally shows up and he gets into bed in his big onesie. And he's like, oh, Caroline, he's like, do you have caviar on your face? And she's like, I do. I did have caviar. I'm like, this woman, like, she had butter on her face last time. Now she has caviar. I kind of love her, but I'm very confused by this, too.
It's rich asshole late night binging, you know? They don't have Little Caesars next to the fucking house or wherever the hell
they're
at.
They have, like, Little Ocestras. That's what they... like a little Roman man comes.
They literally have like one of Caesar's, you know, distant cousins working a pizza oven.
I know. Actually, we have a Patreon question. Because if you donate to us on Patreon at a certain level, you can ask a question that we'll read on the show. So Jamie McFarland asks, at what point will Luke be removing a turkey dinner from Caroline's face? Well, I think it's coming up. It's coming up very quickly. But I think first there'll be some scones and clotted cream.
That's so funny. Yeah, that guy is basically just there to wipe that woman up. And then also, like, assistant coach her when she needs it. He's, you know how every school has the assistant coach and they do everything? Because I went to a lot of schools. I was like one of these bitches. I was like, I don't like it here, mommy. New school. I went to a new school, like, every year, every 2 years. I'm not even kidding. And every one of them had either a coach or an assistant coach who did everything else. It was like, here's the coach, also the priest, also the swim coach, also the tennis coach, also the math coach after class, you know? He did everything. And that's kind of how I feel like Luke is. He's like the assistant coach who has to do everything.
I know. Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, he is the one.
And then we get into coach fight later. But we'll save it.
Yes,
next up is In the Van with Coach Caroline. Okay, yeah. So the coaching begins. So I've been joking this whole time that Annabelle is totally coaching these women to go against Caroline, and it didn't work, and she was all upset, you know, like Bullwinkle, the Natasha and Bullwinkle or whatever. So then, and, you know, it hasn't been that obvious on the other side, but now we get Coach Caroline in. Oh, so good. Just sitting in the car, trying to talk Julie into why she should be your own person.
And by the way, and she's doing this on the other side of the seat of Annabelle. Like,
yes.
They're like inches away, and Caroline's there. I love, by the way, I mean, Caroline doesn't give a shit, and she keeps on calling Annabelle Po-Face, which I thought was like way too sophisticated for reality TV. I'm like, I don't think we've ever heard the term Po-Face on Bravo. This is a new frontier.
What is Po-Face? Because I thought it just meant like Po, like poor. And I mean, I know she's smarter than that, but to me it worked. I was like, oh my God, she's calling her poor face, which is saying something about her discount fillers, which is saying something about Gran's money, which is really rude.
Well, it's according to the Merriam-Webster dictionary, it means having a serious expression of the face. I thought it was, oh, it's Po, P-O. Po-faced.
Wow, it's spelled just the same as Poe. How is anybody going to know the difference?
I know.
Darling, you called me Poe on TV. I said you had a Poe face. Well, what's the difference? Well, you know, one's poor and one's Poe. Yes, Poe's Poe, darling. Can't just change English, darling. Stop fighting with English, darling. Respect English. Maybe you should give your posh put-downs a little less to the English language. Maybe that.
You certainly put the Po in posh put-downs.
I don't know why that's funny to me.
Because it's like the most awful thing a British person could say to one. Oh, you're so Po-faced. I can't believe she would just say that right in front of me, right in this black car.
Has anyone been downtown lately? Have you noticed how Po all the Po people are? What's the Po-faces on the poor people?
I don't see the Po people. Valentina, raise a blanket. I don't want to see the Po people in the Po faces.
Valentina, erase your Po face just because you're going to be Po.
Pauline, put on this mask of Kate Middleton. Good.
Now, go get a headline in front of Clarice. All right, toddle off now.
Caprice, darling. Caprice, not Clarice. Clarice is Sons of the Lambs. Caprice is like a little drink that you stick a straw into in a bag. And she was on The Surreal Life.
Oh, so good.
And the funny thing is that they actually mentioned Caprice this episode, which was hilarious, because she's been kind of like erased from the universe of Ladies of London. But Caroline did mention her at one point later in the episode. So Caroline is like coaching Julie and being like, oh, you have to get out from under her thumb, or she's right up your ass, or you're up her ass, or all this stuff. And
Julie, I know. I mean, I don't know what's wrong with her, because she's just, Julie, do this. Julie, do that. Julie, get up. Julie, lay down. Julie, open the door. Julie, stop talking. Julie, drink something. Julie, stop talking. It's like, oh, my God, Julie, calm down over there.
She is such a mess. So then they arrive at the castle. So, by the way, they're going to Caroline Fleming's castle, not just their estate. I mean, Mapperton has nothing on this thing. This is a full-on castle. Although I didn't think it looked very castle-y, but
it looked kind of like a really big McMansion in like Connecticut. Yeah. You know, like all the brick and stuff. It was very pretty. Don't get me wrong.
But it's a big square.
No, I mean on the inside it looked very castle-y, but I was sort of expecting turrets and stone things and like little peasants around in a drawbridge, which I know is very naive of me. But
that's like Beverly Hills.
I know. Actually, that is what Beverly Hills is like, because you get all these like dumb rich people who are like, I want a castle, and then they go and they literally build fake castles and they look so stupid.
Yes.
Like, go look at Lazy London and see what a good Danish castle looks like. Ooh. A big box with a triangle on top.
Go to the Danes, darling. See how they've done it. Have you never had a Danish?
The happiest country in the world. You know why they're the happiest country in the world? Because they have great castles.
Oh, we have White Castle and they have big red brick castles. And I love when they get up there to this castle and the family is lined up. It's very Downton Abbey. I was like, they were just talking about Jubb Balls on the car. And now we're at Downton Abbey. Like, how do we get to Jubb Balls to Downton Abbey? And everybody was wearing a dark hat. What was that about?
I know. And Caroline Fleming is, like, kissing the butler. She's like, Niles, so good to see you. Mwah, mwah. He's like, my name is Bjorg, and you've never kissed me before in my life.
I see these wenches you've brought are wearing dark hats. I thank you for at least that, little one.
How lucky are you to lift up the drawbridge for us? So, Caroline... So once again, you know, Caroline loves just talking about, like, she's like, my great, 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 great grandfather tipped over a boat in 12th century AD and was given a castle in return. And now I am the first female heir after 3,000 years. I know my math is terrible on that, 1,200, 3,000, but you know.
My 11th grandfather threw a cigarette out the window and it accidentally hit someone in the eye who was allergic to nicotine and they died. And we ended up inheriting a castle.
My great, 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 great grand uncle's brother, by marriage, invented tennis, and now we have a castle.
But there are always, like, awful things happening. She's like, oh, isn't that silly? One time, great-granddaddy-dan-daddy-dan-daddy-dan-daddy-dan-daddy-dan-daddy-dan-daddy was just a common bricklayer until he dropped some bricks off the top of a building and killed the owner of the city. And here we are in a castle.
Yeah. Isn't that wonderful?
We've accidentally murdered someone, and now we control the world.
It's so funny how my great-great-great-great-grandfather murdered Julie's great-great-great-great-grandfather, and now I have a castle, and
that
she has Jubb Balls.
That was priceless when she was introducing them to the family, and she's like, Daddy... Daddy, darling, I've been speaking with Godfather Baron the Duke of Coachness, and I was introducing him to Julie Montague, and he said that his great-great-great-grand-dan-dan-daddy murdered him on accident by running him over with a cow. Isn't that hilarious?
He's like, oh, it's wonderful.
Poor Julie's
off
in the corner.
Should I go tell this story to my stepmother, Molise Yule Brockdorf? Or do you think she would not appreciate it?
Isn't it hilarious that the Montagues could have been us? Instead, they were poor and had to invent sandwich. disgusting, darling.
How lucky are we to have a castle instead of something you eat for lunch?
I talked the sandwiches into opening a sandwich shop, Daddy. He's like, oh, idiots.
I remember when great-grandmother Fleurventine had issues with her lover, Vlöger, and then he went off and his family created chicken fingers, and now we have a castle. It is such an amazing thing what happens in life.
I did have a brother, a wonderful brother. It was his birthday. I made him a beautiful dinner by hand. I would have no one else cook for my brother. And he choked to death. And now I'm the heir. Congratulate. How lucky am I?
How lucky. So then we get a tour of this huge castle.
Whoa.
And so Caroline Fleming has given everyone their own palatial room based on their
personality rooms.
So she gives Julie the Empress room because Julie is actually a lady. Believe
she's
it or
like,
not.
Is that another word in Dane for the attic? Because that's where I usually am, the attic. Because I'm just the one who doesn't care, you know. And the attic's the only place without fur.
and then she's like, "Here, Julie, you get the Empress room because you're a lady and you deserve an Empress room. And Juliet, here, you can have my grandparents' travel beds. Here's a cot.
Juliet, here is a doghouse. I know you've never seen one where you're from, but we invented them here back when great Auntie Wilma died.
Juliet, I like to think that as we get closer, I like to think that it's somewhere down the line that my great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfather perhaps drowned your great-great-great-great-grandfather. I feel so close to you now.
Juliet actually got stuck in the church room. It's like a whole room that's a church that she has to sleep in. And Juliet is actually trying to keep it positive because she's just got everybody nice to her again. So she's positive and she's like, I'm in the church room. I'm a fashion blogger. No one had long hair before Jesus. Thanks, Caroline.
Literally, everyone probably had like a scenic view of the Danish countryside, and hers was literally a balcony overlooking the chapel. Like, it was in the chapel. It was a bedroom at the top of the chapel.
Yeah, it was like literally in a church. I can't believe that she didn't make Marissa sleep in there. You know, like the molesting little boy's room just to punish her.
Well, no, she put Marissa in the West Indian suite as like, you know, when we colonized the West Indies, a place that my family has spent so much time teaching those savages about the ways of the West. You know, we learned how to tame people. So for you, Marissa, here's a place where you can be tamed.
Mm.
It's like, thanks.
Marissa, when my family first stepped foot on the ground of the West Indies, hunting humans was legal. And it still hasn't changed. Have a nice sleep, Marissa. Have a nice sleep.
When our people first went to the West Indies, we met a whole bunch of new people who we took over and made sure they realized they could never be like us. And so, in that sentiment, please enjoy this room.
I'll never forget my third birthday when I got to behead my first hyena in the West Indies. Have a sweet sleep, Marissa.
And they were playing for some inexplicable reason. I always write down the sound cues in this show.
Yeah.
I don't know why. I love them. But they were playing, I'm gonna give all my secrets away. It's like, why are you playing that in the West Indies song? Yeah, in the West Indies room. What are the secrets of the West Indies?
I know. And by the way, I loved how then, of course, Annabelle, they're like, oh, yeah, it's the granny room. Annabelle was probably like, finally, I feel like I'm at home.
They're like, welcome. This is the room with a giant bidet, with handrails and lots of lamps with flowers on them to polish. Enjoy, darling.
She's like, thank you, darling.
Plenty of surfaces on which to put teacups.
This is a room full of ghosts that no one remembers, but we still pretend to cry about. Enjoy your sleep, my darling.
We thank have you, a darling. Complimentary dunce cap in the corner to make you feel at home.
Poor Annabelle. She's like, all right, thank you. I just need a room with curtains that close all the way, all right? Anywhere with blackout curtains is fine.
Like, the only place completely dark on this land is under the ground.
I'll take it. Sounds wonderful, darling.
Rock and roll.
Rock
granny
and roll.
Room. Rock and roll. Rock and roll granny. So then, I love that. So when Caroline Stamber is getting situated, she's like, oh, you know, it's just, I'm trying to put on a happy face, but it's a terrible time for me. I'm so stressed. I'm like, yeah, I'm sure your former employees love this. Like, oh, I'm so sorry, everyone. You're all out of a job. No, excuse me while I go to a castle.
Yes. Well, every time she's like, how can I live like this? I just can't think the gift library. And every time she's in a bed, and I'm sure that she's thinking, look, I'm in a bed, my hair is messy, I've got caviar on my face, okay, I was binging late at night. How can poor people hate me? I'm spending all this time in bed. Well, guess where they're not
in bed, okay? They're looking for jobs. And you're in bed in like a Four Seasons robe and your hair is slightly mussed with caviar on your face.
And you're ordering people around. She literally goes, champagne, please. Valentina, bring the champagne.
And they were playing sneaky clown music. The head of this part is my title for this is Caroline in bed again. Poor. Darling, I don't want to be po-faced. I'm putting on a brave face for the po-people with the po-faces, darling. All right, get this straight. Champagne!
Champagne. Bad news, ma'am. They only have Prosecco.
Oh,
just throw
darling.
It out the window.
Oh, darling, those are the people that fucking Fleming's family accidentally ran down in the 1600s, darling. I'm not drinking that.
So then we got more of a tour of the castle, and they go to like this big ballroom, and Caroline Fleming's like, I used to play tennis in the ballroom. That's kind of what we did. I thought everyone came from that kind of place.
I thought everyone played tennis in the ballroom. I was completely surprised when I got in trouble for it the first time. I said, sorry, Queen. Who does that? So funny, though. And it reminded me of that movie Frozen. What? Did you see that?
Yeah. Yeah,
okay,
yeah,
so you know how the kid, well, I won't say the whole plot because it's, you know, twisty and turny for those of you who haven't seen it, but it's about these two lonely kids without parents, and one will freeze the other one, so she's stuck in the room like Annabelle, okay, she's the Annabelle, and then the other little sad one, I forget her name, the girl from Wicked, that one. No, that's
Elsa,
Anna. No, that's the
Elsa
main one. I'm making this too long. Anyway, the lonely one had to be in a ballroom. That was the whole thing. She was
Elsa
like stuck in this ballroom playing by herself, like playing tennis by herself. And she's like, do you want to build a snowman? And I just imagine poor Fleming.
Yeah, exactly. Entertaining herself by playing tennis. And she just really only had like a piece of wood that she pretended to hit a ball with.
Yes. It wasn't tennis at all. It was really just like throwing an orange at a painting.
They were like, Caroline, you have a special gift. You may never touch a person ever again. How lucky am I? Not at all.
Don't forget, darling, when you go to bed, that you need to go under everyone's door crack and whisper silently, good night.
You have a gift, Caroline, and from now on, the gift means that you can only have two people in the cab, including you. So if a third person tries to get in, kick them out. Yes, mommy.
Yes, mommy.
I don't know what that
is. Do you want to build a snowman?
No!
Sorry, daddy. Do you want to build a snowman?
No!
Sorry, brother. Do you want to build a snowman? I'll be playing tenny.
Don't get more orange on Great Baron Munchausen.
What? Do you want some Himalayan sea salt? No! Would you like to make some pesto? Actually, yes. How lucky am I to finally find something to do?
I've put the pesto under your door, Father.
Would you like some Fritos? Actually, yes. I'm gonna run here.
Please don't come into my family home and speak to me. It's very disrespectful. The first time I met Serena Williams and I threw an orange at a painting and she asked me why, I realized that's not how you play tennis at all. I had to completely relearn.
Yeah, I mean, you know that there was a fairy tale that we're not getting the full fairy tale story. It was like, I always played tennis in the ballroom and my father said, no matter what you do, be careful of the paintings. And then one day I threw the tennis ball at the painting and it came alive and said, Caroline, you have been cursed. And from this day forward, you shall always have a bookshelf in the middle of your dining room table.
Your family's family, every child born to this family shall have giant pieces on the dining room table that obstruct the view of your guests.
Oh, how lucky.
Caroline Fleming, this is the ghost of your great, 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 great aunt, grandfather. You have thrown a tennis ball at my portrait, and now you must suffer the consequences. From here on out, every bench that you ever buy will have a huge disruption right in the middle of it.
Do you want to build a snowman? So we go from the ballroom tour, which I don't think I'm ever going to forget in my entire life, by the way. That was like the most amazing thing I've ever seen. I was like, I felt like Juliet. I was like, wow. I was so excited. And I love that the photographer, there's like one photographer stepping up from behind a planter. He's like, chick, 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 chick.
And I also love, by the way, I'm sorry, real quickly. We really didn't touch on this, but when she said that this is what she thought everyone did, like, I love that she thought other children all had ballrooms that they all were playing tennis in. That's what I loved.
When I learned that multiple children across the universe didn't grow up like this, I told myself, Fleming, you will spread almond butter to the po-faced po people. And I've done so.
Yeah, have a bite. Okay, sorry.
The West Indies choked, but they choked peacefully and happily on almond butter. And now we own it.
So next, we are still on this tour, this never-ending tour, which next goes to the Africa Room. And the last time we were in an Africa Room was on Real Housewives of Atlanta during the tour of Thomas Kramer.
Oh, yeah.
Thomas Kramer's house. Sit down and shut up.
Sit down, shut up, or leave.
So that's totally what I thought. I was like, oh, my God, please let Nene yell at somebody. Or Kim be like, I love lions. Yeah. Hello, lion.
So Fleming said that this was Europe's largest collection of animal trophies. And then she's like, she keeps pointing out all these oddities. She's like, would you like to know what this is? This is the penis bone of a walrus. I was like, oh.
And Juliet goes, I didn't know penises like actually had bones. And Marissa goes, maybe that's why they're called boners.
Maybe that's why they're called boners.
I'm pretty American. Like, I'm as American as they come, and I still love to laugh at the fucking Americans on this show. Can you imagine what they're doing in the UK? They must be on the fucking floor every time. A boner?
You know they're probably, when the cameras are off, Juliet and Marissa are like, did you hear when they said that? Remember that? Remember? I would be. And then Caroline Fleming's like, this is a shrunken head. Like, what do they have in this castle? They got a shrunken head now?
This was so... This whole room was so fucking creepy, by the way. It was so gross. It was like Noah's Ark, but everything's dead.
I know. And then Fleming's like, who wants tea? It's like, what sort of transition is that? Here is a shrunken head, and now we can have tea.
Who would like to watch television? Let's turn on The Walking Dead and eat hot dogs.
It's like, no. Let's get over the dead people first.
Yeah.
And Marissa's like, oh, yeah, all these animals that we...
Don't be worried, Julie. Like, we used all the parts. They're being made into unique things at Top Dog. Boners.
I just wrote boners really big and crazy Juliet laugh. Shrunken heads. Oh, my God. Okay, Fleming, apprehensive about the parental meeting. I just love how she speaks. I really do. She's like,
well, after showing the girls the Africa Room, I thought... Well, I sure feel apprehensive about the parental meeting.
She is the kind of the NPR. Ding, ding. Yeah. Orders up.
We were in a restaurant. A restaurant full of po-faced po-people. Ding, ding, ding. Orders up.
Well, you know, it's funny because in that castle, Fleming turns right back into the princess or baroness or whatever. I mean, it's like all that sweet whimsical stuff goes away. She is full on Mary from Downton Abbey when she gets into the castle. She's like, all right, now everyone, get ready for dinner. We're not late for dinner. We're not late. We have to be prompt.
Be prompt because Mummy and Daddy will not be pleased if we're not. And I want them to think I'm hanging out with a good group.
I'm like, you're bringing a reality show into a castle, eh? That's like the trashiest thing you could do while you're fucking a child. Well, in her parents' eyes. And you're bringing this group in there. I think your parents are pretty much ready for whatever happens tonight.
Yeah,
I don't think they'll be surprised.
Exactly. And by the way, this is a small note, but were you as sort of like jarred as I was that they were sitting like smoking in the castle? And I kind of felt like this is like a historical space. I can't believe you're smoking around all these couches.
Yes, it's still totally normal to smoke, I guess. Like around, smoke inside. Like, if you think about it, it really didn't become crazy here until like a decade-ish ago. You know, it wasn't
so
that long ago.
Like, I just was like, that couch is like 300 years old. I mean, how could you be getting you know, cigarette smoke into it? How awful.
Well, everything in there. And I'm sure there's been so much worse that's gone on. It's got like blood from decapitations and shit on the couch. You know, like things were way worse before. Like a little smoke will kill. And it's just Annabelle anyway.
Yeah, that's true. No, Fleming was smoking too, actually.
Oh, she was?
Yeah, she was. And then they go into once Juliet gets there, she's like, they go into dinner. And again, just everything Caroline Fleming says just makes me laugh. She's like, can you smell the red cabbage? How do you smell the cabbage? And then she goes, and then my favorite thing in the episode is how she kept pushing the aquavit on everyone. Is aquavit or aquavit? Aquavit. It's aquavit, right?
Aquavit, she's like, yeah.
Isn't that a great flavor? Mm. Isn't that the greatest flavor?
And Juliet's barfing in the corner. Yeah. I was proud of Juliet for even taking the shot because it was something that she didn't know, you know, it wasn't like a cup of mac and cheese or something that she could down. It's like, wow, I did it. I'm growing. Well, that's what happens when you go to church every night. You grow, darling.
Isn't that a great flavor of religion?
When Luke, the song for this one was, I'm getting ready. I think they got ready in five times, or they got ready five times in this episode to eat. And every single time it was like, I'm a girl getting clothes on to eat food. Girls wearing clothes to dinner.
I'm not an eating food at the dining room. I'm going to have it in bed because I said so. It's like,
Luke tells Annabelle. Annabelle is in rare form. Okay, Annabelle shows up looking gorge and not looking, you know, not looking like she just snuck out of the bathroom snorting something. So I give her a lot of shit for that. But tonight she didn't look like that at all. She looked totally herself, really beautiful, stunningly gorge.
Was that a posh put down?
No, that's like a plain old white trash put down. My great 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 papa did that one time at a gas station. It caught on. Doing it ever since. But she didn't look like all drugged out of her mind. She looked like just depressed as hell. So I was like, welcome home, darling.
Yeah.
And she comes in and Luke, they're sitting around before dinner, and Luke tells her, I don't want you to be offended that I'm saying this, but your tits, darling, I've never seen your flesh.
she gets all uncomfortable and everybody's looking at her like, darling, you're showing skin.
Yeah.
You're like, all right.
I know, they're all putting on their sunglasses as like the glare of white destroys their eyes. They're like, no, it's radioactive.
So much alabaster. I decided until my book comes out, I'm going to start a new business and open a pastry shop.
No, it's pasty, darling.
Oh, my bad. I'll go put on a shawl.
She's like, I'm a snowman. I'm a snowman. There's the truth.
Do you want to build a snowman? Oh, darling, so they go, please let it go. I'm built. I've been built. Please stop kneeling under my door. Stop it.
Stop it.
Do you want to build a snowman? I am the snowman, darling. Now piss off.
Well, you know, like, if it was truly, like, if Annabelle were in Frozen, the song would go like this. Do you want to build a snowman? And she'd be like, no. And the song would just end. And then
there would be like a slam on the door that hit the little girl in the head and she falls backwards.
Yeah, non-Elsa would be like, okay. And she just, because, you know, non-Elsa is Juliet, obviously. She's like, okay.
So Fleming, they just keep showing a little bit of Fleming and she'll just give one little soundbite of, it's wonderful to see my friends in the home of my family. And then they'll cut to whatever. And then it cuts back to her 10 minutes later. My family, friends. And this one was, I'm so delighted that I opened my world to my friends so they can see where I'm coming from and realize I'm the richest one here and they better respect my ass. I'm not just some woman walking around barefoot making Frito pie with her hands. All right.
Yeah. I earned that barefoot nature. Don't you feel like Caroline Fleming's grandfather was the bad guy in Ghostbusters 2 who came out of the painting? That's what I feel like. If they're not nice to Caroline Fleming, like a whole bunch of pink slime is going to come out and they'll have to think happy thoughts until it goes away.
That's actually a good point. Maybe she's just doing all of this to see if she can. She's like, my family won't speak to me. They think I'm trash. I shall bring a reality show, 70 crew members into the castle and just try and make them kick me out so all the paintings will come to life and murder them all. I shall be the only heir.
I became friends with the paintings at tennis camp.
The first time I threw an orange at great uncle, Uncle Baron Heathrow, he caught it in his mouth, and that's when I knew I own this castle. Dun, dun, dun.
So this was at this dinner.
the buffet style. I couldn't believe it.
We're going to do this buffet style. To all the Americans here, we call this the Golden Corral. And they're like, we have that. No, this is literally a corral made out of gold that accidentally fell on the Queen's great cousin, the Duke of Bedford. We are now the Baffins of corrals.
So stupid. So dumb. I know, but you so got to make a Golden Corral reference.
Isn't it a great flavor? So at one point, so they're all sitting around, they're talking, and Julie's like, Julie says, oh, I love it here. And then Annabelle, they cut to Annabelle laughing, like, like she's some novice, like she's never been in a castle before or whatever. And somehow this is the jump off to the beginning of the tension of the night. And I didn't quite understand that. I kind of felt like that was a moment of editing. I feel like Julie just said something relatively benign, and then they just took an instance of Annabelle laughing haughtily, which is what she does, and they put them together to make it seem like, oh, now it's beginning. I wasn't totally convinced.
Well, Annabelle is very single-minded. Like, she's pissed, and she's been pissed now for, you know, days, which to us is weeks. But when she's pissed, she just gives that surly look and smokes really deep and gives people disgusted looks and laughs. Yeah. So, I mean, it was coming no matter what. And all these girls really rile themselves up. I think more than any other show, they really have these private meetings first, and they're like, that girl's coming after you. Get her. And they really show up at dinner ready to go, you know? And Marissa's always sitting there with that game face where it looks like, you know how Dana Cowan from Top Chef, that's who she reminds me of. Yeah, I finally figured it out because Dana Cowan's very nice and they have the same face. I mean, they're years apart, so sorry, Marissa. But they have that same face where when they're happy, they're like, delightful. I would love to put this on the cover of a magazine to, you're a disgusting human being and a dumb batch. Like,
and I'm
2 seconds.
Of kale.
Yes, like there's a very dark anger that can come over both of those faces. And so now to me, she's Dana Cowan, top dog.
Yes. So what I loved is that, so Julie's feeling awkwardness from Annabelle. And so Luke gives her this like ridiculous pep talk. And he's like, well, you were under her wing, all right? And now you're blooming, all right? And now you're a bird and she's a bird. And you're like both birds. And you're just like two birds in a flock. And sometimes the flock goes two different ways. And then you're all flying around together. And the birds get hit each other. And then there's a window and you don't see the window. And sometimes you get hit yourself. But you know, you're birds and that's all right.
When I think of it this way, if I came into the bedroom in the morning and Caroline was sitting there waiting for me and I didn't have any makeup and I just sat there and stared at her, she would think, why aren't you doing my makeup? Do you understand what I'm saying? She's like, no! Well,
what's makeup?
All right, let me put it this way. If Caroline came home and I didn't have my hands in the toilet trying to get out a Barbie doll that one of her daughters got stuck down there, she'd ask me, why are you being lazy? You're a bad friend. Does that make any sense? No! All right,
you're a lost cause. I don't know.
Have you ever bought a dish towel and then your entire employer staff stops using it after they wash their hair? How do you think the dish towel feels? She's like, I use paper towels. I know, I'm a terrible American. It's like, never mind, you're screwed.
He was trying to give her good advice. He was assistant coaching, and then Caroline came right in because none of this stuff was really said behind anybody's back anyway. Like, it was said in front of her face, but it was her back to her face, so I don't know.
It was a very strange, awkward confrontation that wasn't really a confrontation, but sort of was, that happened, that I almost couldn't follow because everyone was like talking about each other, but not really.
Okay, here you go. I'm going to speed through this note. You'll love it. Marissa asked Julie what happened. Julie, who said Annabella's up my ass? I said you were up Annabella's ass. Annabelle, would you confirm? Okay, so this was so good. So Julie's getting defensive because Marissa's like, yeah, but remember in the van when Caroline was saying that you're up Annabelle's ass? No, that Annabelle's up your ass. And she's like, wait a minute. You said that Annabelle's up my ass? And Caroline, no, darling. I said you were up Annabelle's ass. Isn't that what I said, Annabelle? Is that what I said? You heard.
And Annabelle goes, well, actually, you weren't saying it to my face. You were saying it behind the ... And what you said was, you were up Annabelle's ass, but now you're changing side, and Annabelle's up your ass. Which is deeply amusing.
And Caroline's like, yeah, I don't know. That's what I don't know what I said.
We and both Julie's trying to get it straight. She's like, wait a second. So I'm up her ass, but then change sides now up your ass, but then an ass? And what? Wait, who said I was whose bitch? Oh, I said that you were her bitch, but now that you're not her bitch because you've got jub balls and confidence, but you know, you were a bitch. I'm a bitch? No, her bitch. Really? What?
And, you know, since this is England, this is the equivalent of, like, the brawl of that opened up season 3 of Real Housewives of New Jersey, where people punching and fighting and tables going over. This is that equivalent in England. Being like, what did you say? I believe I said you were up her ass. No, she's up my ass. I'm up her ass. Oh, I said that. You said that behind my back. All right. So that's what it is. Okay.
Who's up whose ass? That has got to be one of my favorite all-time Housewives fight. Wait, I'm up whose ass? I'm not a bitch or up an ass?
They can't even get their logistics. Well, this is why it's so British, because they want to make sure they get their facts straight before they get angry, as opposed to Americans who will just, they prefer to have their facts totally wrong so that way they can apologize afterwards. And meanwhile, Caroline Fleming is like, they're having it out in my family home. No one fights
so
in the castle.
Disrespectful.
How could they do that in front of the aquavit? With its great flavor. Isn't it great flavor? Such great flavor.
Oh, keep fighting, girls. I'll be having sex with a 16-year-old in the ballroom.
There's some red cabbage being braised. Does anyone want that? Would that soothe the tensions?
Don't you smell the cabbage?
There's no time to fight when there's cabbage in the air.
So this turns into the ass-talking thing. Okay, now's where they get long, so I don't want to go into all these, but I just wrote down, this is hilarious, because British people have a way of separating themselves from their emotions to a point that they're just basically like sports announcers, but about their relationship. And it was hilarious, because Caroline and Annabelle start having this fight, trying to sell Julie on who's making her a better person or something.
Yeah,
and it was
weird.
Like two coaches going at it. Caroline's like, now listen here. I have seen a different Julie ever since you've come to my team. I've seen a Julie who goes on town with that bike and doesn't worry about it. I see a Julie selling her jabolts to high bidders. I don't see a sad little Julie who needs to hide behind lamps with flowers on them in croquet bitch sessions at grandmom's house. She's like, oh, well, here's what I see. I see a little wussy Julie, a little tired wussy Julie who can't even take a cigarette without coughing and who can't even stand up to an awful witch like Caroline. Well, here's what I see. It's like two coaches like talking to Julie fight. And Julie's like, really? All right, where am I on the field? Where am I?
I know. Well, I love that, like, Julie, I think she says in maybe the interview, she's like, she's excited because she's like, I've grown balls. I'm like, what? Since when did you grow balls? Like, you can't just tell us that you grew balls. You didn't grow balls. And then Caroline literally says, this was one of my favorite moments of the episode. Caroline says, I think you believe in yourself now. And Julie says, this is a direct quote, yeah, I think that, I mean, yeah, definitely.
There's another cat meme. There's a cat poster right there. Yeah. It's like a really happy cat, like totally insecure.
She's like, yeah, I totally believe in myself. I mean, I think I believe in myself. I want to. I don't know.
Can I believe in myself? Okay, hold on. Does anybody have a phone? A landline? I'm calling the staff at the sandwich shop to ask them if I should believe in myself.
Julie, all right. Let me put it out for you this way. I believe that you believe in yourself. And I think you can go right into that kitchen right now and you can make some hot chocolate and not burn it.
Really? Your children will no longer tell my children to tell my nanny how much your food sucks, darling. No! Wow! I'm going to do it!
And Juliet, meanwhile, is like, wow. She's like, there's so much bad energy. It's about to come to heads.
Yeah. She's like, no one's yelling at me. So, golden crowd. Yay.
Yeah. Caroline also said at one point, to Julie, she goes, because Julie said, what do you mean I'm strong? What do you mean? I mean, do I look strong? Because yoga. I mean, am I strong? And Caroline goes,
darling, you've become strong because you're around an awful group of people.
Yeah.
And just like walking on glass, eventually your feet stop bleeding and grow calluses, which you've done to your soul. So congratulations. We'll keep throwing rocks at you until you're fully strong. Thanks, guys.
Now go do a slow headstand.
What? Now, go try and do a tree while we mock the fact that you can't do it.
I know. Well, so meanwhile, Annabelle's just had enough of Caroline. So now her real erudite, aristocratic ass comes out. And she's like, regarding Caroline, she's like, it's like a cow opening its mouth. You sound unattractive and stupid.
And then Luke's like, you've got grass on your face, Mum. wiping your poor face off.
You have some chocolate mousse on your face, Mum.
So Annabelle is now looking like she's staying calm, but she is gulping down the cigarettes. It's yes. like watching Dorothy come at you very slowly with a bucket of water getting ready to throw. Like, she's ready to melt, but she's not winning. She's not admitting defeat yet, and she's, like, heaving out cigarettes and leaning on the table. And it was just the visual of it was cracking me up, because there cannot be two wicked witches, okay?
No.
There's one of them gets crushed by a house, and then there's a good one and a nice one, okay? So yeah. Those bitches are fighting for the top spot. It's like a wicked competition.
Yeah. Well, when we come back from commercial break, it's the morning, and now Caroline Fleming's bitch flower has come to full bloom, because everyone has slept in, and Caroline Fleming is furious because breakfast is at 10 and it's 10:30 and everyone's still in their bedrooms, and she is going down the hallways, waking everyone up, being like, it's rude not to come down for breakfast. It's rude. It's rude. Like, what happened to the girl who had a bucket of lollipops on her bed with barefoot, you know?
Yeah, totally gone.
Carefree.
She's like, they didn't even do this in the West Indies.
Yeah.
They woke up when we told them to, and then they choked on almond butter. Get to breakfast now!
Like, she turned into a nightmare. And then Sophie, now you know who the real queen bitch in all of this is, is Fleming, because everyone is terrified. I mean, even Sophie and Caroline, and those people would take down Hitler with a few bad words, you know?
Yeah.
They'd be like, your face is hideous, your techniques are heathenistic, and you've got bad breath. And he'd be like, quit! Okay, drama, stay, I kill yourself!
Get out of my country right now.
They are afraid of Fleming. Sophie's like, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, darling.
Sorry, Mom.
You're totally right. You're totally correct. You're right. It's rude. Rude, and I'm still sorry. Still sorry, Mom.
Fleming, meanwhile, she was like, Niles has been in there. He's been cooking for an hour. I think it's rather rude. I think it's rather rude that you don't come down when he's been cooking for so long. It's rude. I'm like, you don't care about the help's feelings. You're just hangry right now. You just want your bacon, all right?
She's just in control again. It's like a woman who's been given everything and treated like a, well, I mean, she's not a princess, but she's got a title, I guess. That means something. So she's treated like that her whole life, and she's got a bunch of people who don't give a fuck. And she's like, what are you doing? Don't you give a fuck? Give a fuck. It means when you're grounded into the earth, it means you give a fuck about a Fleming. I'm like, oh, calm down over there. No one cares. Like, congratulations on your gigantic castle that's not in London, darling. And you're one person following you around. It doesn't count in another country, all right? Enjoy it while you're here. Because when you get home, you're just another mac and cheese making mom and, you know, bare feet and giant things on the dining room table.
Yeah, you think you're special because you played tennis in the ballroom? Well, guess what? In England, you know what they play in the ballroom? The Olympics. Well, there's only one person who can kind of bring Caroline Fleming back to Earth. And that, of course, is Caroline Stanbury. And because Caroline Fleming's like, well, you know, like, I would never do this if I was a house. I guess it's someone's house. I would never act like this. I would never do this. And then Caroline Fleming's like, well, Caroline Stanbury's like, well, I wouldn't be a guest at someone's house normally. I was like, ooh.
Yes. She's like, that is why I don't put myself in the position of being a guest ever.
Meanwhile, Marissa was loving this. She was sitting there, like, she had the top dog, hot dog grin going on, because she's like, oh, good, now everyone sees that Caroline Fleming is a bitch, and I'm not the bad one anymore.
Yes. And like anybody who grew up with siblings knows, the biggest brat wins. So you've got one brat throwing a fit, Fleming, and then you've got the bigger brat who just shuts down the other brat. So it's like she can't be a brat again until the other Caroline Lee, until poor Caroline goes back to being poor and poor on poor face.
So then everything settles down. And then after breakfast...
It's all Luke's fault. Luke should have woken me up. That's what she said.
I just got to that.
Luke's like, I did wake her up, but I had to bring a shovel and take the cheesecake off her face.
My parents are coming and I don't want them to have to wait.
I'm like, oh, no. Here we go. I cannot wait for this.
So the thing is this. Last week on the previews for this episode, we see footage of Annabelle getting a terrible phone call that has her go, oh my god, and she's crying and everything, and we think, like, I think we didn't we suspect, or maybe it was me, that her friend Liam died.
I thought her Time Warner got cut off.
Oh.
She's like, but where will I watch Knitting Channel with Grandmum? Please.
Someone broke my tea kettle. Oh, so I'm still doing the Caroline Fleming voice. But anyway, it looked like a big awful thing had happened. So here it is. The moment comes. She gets the phone call. She's like, What? Oh, how awful. Oh, why did they say that? Oh, and then you hear, Like, oh my God, what happened? And she's like, it's the Daily Mail. They're doing a story about Alexander. How could they? There's so much gossip about him. How could they do that in the Daily Mail?
Oh, yeah, goodness. She said a couple of funny things in there. I'm sorry to say they're funny, but nope. She just makes me laugh because she goes,
yes, but when people call you and they want to talk about these things, you're supposed to say no.
And then she goes in the closet and she's crying.
Oh, Sophie, darling, I'm sorry to cry. You haven't met this me. This is closet crying me. Shut the door, darling. Be shut the door, you, darling.
So then Sophie goes out with the girls, and it's freezing, and it's more hats. They're going to need so many suitcases just for these fucking hats. They've got like 10 hats.
Yeah.
So they're walking around outside, and Sophie's like, darlings, just so you know, if Annabelle breathes smoke in your face, punches you, and then tries to snort the necklace right off your neck,
it's because she got a call today from the Daily Mail, and everyone's like, bullet points?
They're like,
no!
We all know how she hates bullet points. She only likes shots, not bullet points.
She tells them about all the drama going on. And apparently, so there's some book written about Alexander, and there's stories that were never told. They got quotes from someone, because Juliet's like, yeah, but the only people they would be able to talk to are, like, his friends. So, like, they're not going to tell anybody. Because then Annabelle will be mad at them, and that's no fun. Like, who's going to ever go to a party and be comfortable again? She's like, they got quotes. And everyone's like, whoa, no! His muse was really Sharon Stone.
Yeah, it was like, I mean, I understand being, like, annoyed and frustrated, but she was being over the top of that.
Well, we already know so much about him. I mean, it's not like anybody thinks he lived this really innocent life. I mean, he was pretty, like, he led a pretty dark life. He didn't,
yeah.
I mean, I don't think there's any huge mystery. Everyone's like, oh my God, this is gonna kill his dead person
legacy.
Greeting card line. Like, what? Like, no one's, like, looking to him for a positive card to send your grandma, okay? And, like, everyone knows that he was, you know, a little rough around the edges.
Yeah,
he was an artist, darling.
He was. So she shares all this. And then Caroline Fleming's like, thank you for sharing that with us. Now, how about that aquavit? Isn't the flavor just wonderful? Would you like some aquavit? That might help with the situation. Isn't it just wonderful?
And everyone acts like Annabelle talking about it is this huge thing. They're like, Annabelle's opening up. Finally, here's Annabelle, opening like a little flower. Listen, Annabelle's always opened up. You just have to know what to talk about. Annabelle or Alexander? Or how much
exactly.
Alexander loved Annabelle? That's it. She's opened up like a zillion times. Have you guys watched this show?
Well, I love also, like, you know, when people are asking you about Alexander, you just cannot talk to them unless they're a reality TV crew who can mince your words about.
He died 5 years ago, but now he's being killed.
Yeah.
How can you kill a dead person? I'm so upset at people. There should be a law killing dead people.
And people are like, yeah, I agree.
Posh put down.
Darling, no one knew him like you did. All right, now let's go.
It's like, that's all she needs to hear.
Yeah,
he liked you best, darling. All right, now we're going to go eat some flour that has been stirred in butter for 16 hours by Niles.
How lucky are we to have some red cabbage right now? We're ready for some red cabbage. Red cabbage right now. It's in the air.
Is that red cabbage I smell, or is it your story souring? All right, let's all get up and move on. Put a Duracell up your bum.
Oh, my favorite story about Alexander McQueen was when he went to that restaurant that he loved and he wanted to get 5 pounds of Comté cheese, and they didn't have it for him, so they went. They went all over Copenhagen. They found it. They brought it to him, and they said, "Here it is." Oh wait, that was about me, wasn't it? How lucky am I? That
I love the statue that they made in the center of town of great grand 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 granddad dad 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 Alexander. Oh, I'm sorry, that was me, darling. Sorry, I was so grounded in your pain that I projected your pain onto my marvelous present. Oh, hugs.
So next we go feel bad for Fleming Caroline at Fleming. Dead mom visit.
Nice
that was
film.
So
that was
sad.
A,
yeah,
that
was really
that
sad.
That was like a legit, like, that was a very sweet scene. And I almost wanted to make fun of her when she hugged the urn. And she's like, it's huggable. But I was like, no. It's like a...
It's a huggable urn. She's in, like, some people would call this a tagine. But mommy loved Moroccan food. Every once in a while, I come braise her for a bit and then leave for 3 years.
It's like, oh, this is so nice. I love a
tagine. It was a really, It was a really sweet moment. And it is kind of cool. I mean, as much as we're making fun of Caroline and all this stuff with her castle and I played in the ballroom, when she's like walking through this chapel and all these people from her family to like the Middle Ages are buried there, it's like it's cool. I mean, you do get a sense of like there is a huge lineage there. And you know, I had to genuflect a little bit in my brain.
Oh, yeah. There is a huge one. And most of us don't even know it. Like those websites that tell you all about your family tree, when people do those, they're like on the floor shocked at where they come from. I don't know. I mean, there was like a big long hallway of Lebanese people in my Sithi's house. So I've seen lots of Lebanese people. I can imagine that my big castle would be just like lines of Lebanese people on the wall looking down at me like, you're half Rhonda.
I feel like my ancestry.com would go back 100 years, and then you know I'm Jewish from Eastern Europe, you know, I'm sure like they were like, Jews, you don't get to have records, be gone, you know?
My great 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 Jiddi was the first head waiter of Lebanon, and that is why I shall serve the rest of my life. 20%. Oh, spirit hugs.
So that was really cute, and she actually made Stansbury like kind of cry, which was so awkward. I was like, please just fast forward, clear the dead mother. Thankfully, we are at a girl power dinner, getting ready for dinner song again.
I'm getting ready for dinner because your parents are coming and we're eating with your mom because I'm a girl.
So this is a black tie affair because the parents were coming, as you said. So we meet Caroline's father. His name is Baron Niels Krabbe Jules Brockdorf. And then we meet her godfather, who is Count Previn Alefeld Lovig, and then her stepmother, Molise Jules Brockdorf.
Yeah, that was a humongous family with long names and really nice clothes from a long time ago.
And they were so old school, which I loved, actually, especially the Count. You know, he really seemed like he came from Downton Abbey, the way he would talk. I mean, beyond upper crust. You just don't have anything in America that compares to that, like, effortless wealth and title, you know?
Yeah, and also just the general snarkiness of everybody. Like, everybody makes jokes. Everybody mocks each other the whole time. And it's really fun. I was like, oh, family. Hugs. Mine is like that, too.
Yeah, and you know what actually cracked me up? Because, again, Annabelle's always like, I'm so rock and roll. I've got bangs. I hung out with Alexander McQueen. I'm rock and roll. I know fashion. The moment she gets around the titled people and the wealthy titled people, she is very quick to be like, I'm part of you guys. I am an aristocrat. Let me tell you about my mother's title, and let me tell you a fun story about my mother's title. And, oh, yeah, she slept with the king or whatever. Da, da, da. She was like,
it's like, hello, gentlemen. Let's talk about shooting titles.
And those stories were hilarious because they were, again, all about killing other people and then getting their title, and then they're like, oh, ho, ho. And she's like, yes, I have a title too. I'm a Marquesa, and my mummy was walking, or something like, my father's father, granddaddy, father's cousin, Marquesa, was having an affair with a woman, and he wanted the husband, so he murdered him. Well, it turns out that the husband was powerful, darling, and that's how we got our title.
She just had to sleep with him in the first place.
It all came down to getting us in the end. Rock and roll title, darling.
Yeah, I just thought it was very funny that she immediately went to her aristocratic roots.
Have you ever been shot before, gentlemen? They're like, oh, no, are we a duck? She's like, oh, I've been shot. I've been shot straight in the ass. Well, didn't your husband help you? I don't have one. Crazy. What a rebel. That means you're on the market, eh? She's like, I literally am.
Yeah, she's like, no, let's talk about mallards.
Do you have any lamps that you'd like to polish together and tell stories about killing other people to gain fame and fortune? Love you. Where have you been all our lives, bangs?
That was so fucking cute. And I just wrote, rock and roll, I wrote. I forgot her name for a second. But rock and roll is so much more comfortable around old people. She's just one of those people that sees a senior and she goes right up to them and is like, let's talk for 10 hours because regular people suck. Okay.
Yeah, well, that's why I always get annoyed with her always being like, I'm so rock and roll, because it's like, you know, you may like rock and roll things, but stop calling yourself rock and roll because you're basically just like an old fart, you know?
Well,
like,
if
you're
you
not
think
old,
about it, so is
but, like,
rock and
like
roll.
That. Yeah, but she likes, you know, she likes all the pomp and circumstance of, like, all the stuff that rock and roll is supposed to be rebelling against. She's totally, like, a part of that, and she loves it. And so she should just embrace that, because that's the best side of her.
Yeah, but, you know, at the end of the day, you still got to be around like-minded people, and all the rock and roll people from her time are dead now, because they were so rock and roll. It's like she was so not rock and roll that she's still living, and she's stuck with Gran, you know? So the people she likes are just, like, old people. You talk to them for a while about whatever you want, and they fall asleep. There's none of this, like, you can say the same Alexander story 30 times and no one's going to get sick of that shit. She's like, bring me an Alzheimer ward. I shall walk down and tell stories until people die. Rock and roll!
So then they go to dinner. They all get together for dinner. And by the way, I thought Luke looked fantastic in a tux. Good for you, Luke.
Yeah, good for you. I love that little Luke. I think he's a sweetheart. Yeah, and like he's Luke a too. Really, I really enjoy a gay that you bring along as an accessory, but they can also give decent advice. And he calls it correctly. When he told Julie that stuff about, well, now, you know, now you're not hers anymore and she's upset, darling. You have to be nice. I mean, that's actually really good advice. That was true. Yeah, Julie couldn't see it. Like, I really like that guy. Sweet.
No, yeah. We like Luke a lot.
I feel weird saying that, but I do like him.
He's one of the best gays on Bravo.
I love him.
Fleming,
gigantic family.
So Fleming and Marissa have a moment. They're like next to each other. And, you know, Fleming is doing this whole thing of like, you know, when we first met, like, I didn't know you very well, but now I feel like we are very close. Mm-hmm. And Marissa's
you know
like,
why, yeah, right? Did you catch why? Okay, so Marissa goes over to her, and I'm staying in this scene, don't worry, I'm not changing the subject.
No,
she goes right over to her, and she's like, hi, this is great. You know, in her whisper voice that she does when she's being like whisper mom? And she touches her arm, and she's like, how was today? In that voice, and she's like, darling, the depths of my soul today and the feelings of mummy, really, it was important. And I've only been there 3 times in all this time, and there's a reason for that. And we got cut off. We didn't find the reason. So that
sucks. Well, the reason is because it's tough for her.
Well, but there was also so much drama. Like, so she's hinted at all this drama that's going on, but she won't tell us exactly what it was. Like, her family.
Every day going to visit Mummy, there just happens to be a sale on pink Himalayan sea salt. I mean, what's a girl to do?
Mummy didn't raise someone to skip a sale, darling. Mummy loved a po-faced porpoise. So she's telling her this stuff, and she's doing it in that... I'm not ever going to make fun of someone's mom being dead, but she takes that very, like, Mummy, it was very difficult today. You know that faux sincerity thing that she does? And Marissa is totally listening to her with her own mom faux sincerity, and they're both, like... kind of having this battle of faux sincerity and then realize we can both pull off faux sincerity really well. And she's like, darling, at the end of all this, you listen to my mummy monologue. I like you now. And that's all it took. And she's like, now I like Marissa. She listened to me. And I was like, that's all you need. You see that mommy voice works?
Yeah, she's like, I feel very close to her now. I'm like, what?
She listened to my story. She wins. I would like to announce this, people. Nigel, remove the gigantic pink trees from in the center of the table, darling. He's like, sorry, ma'am. Curse. Oh, that's right. Never mind. All right, everyone. All right. Let's climb to the top of the centerpieces and have a toast, shall we?
Well, what I liked is Marissa was like, you know, I appreciate her for who she is. And she's like, you know, a total bitch.
I really respect her now. And fear her, because she's really rich. So that's my lesson for the day.
So then Marissa gives a toast, and I was very scared. I'm like, no, Marissa, please don't give a toast. You're American, just don't.
She's like, you know what you guys need? Some hot dogs. Toast to hot dogs.
So she's like, well, meanwhile, I'm like giving her some crazy voice. She's like, well, you know, I fell in love with your sister, and then I came here and I fell in love with this castle and this place and this country. And then I fell in love with your father and this count. And I fell in love with Niles in the kitchen. And I fell in love with a bed. And there was that shrunken head up there. I fell in love with that one, too. And then I fell back in love with your dad again. And was there anything I didn't fall? I fell in love with the table here. And then there was that staircase. I loved the staircase. Was there anything I didn't fall? Oh,
actually, I got to know the shrunken head.
Yeah. The Talking Head's great too. Oh, and also you.
And you. You. Yeah, I also. Yeah. But then most of I fell in love with you. I'm like, that's great. You liked everything else. Then finally you loved Fleming.
And Fleming's like, oh, you listed me in the same order as the rest of the family. Thank you, darling. You'll fit right in here.
Yeah.
Yeah, Marissa giving a toast was really cute. And of course you love her.
She's rich and popular, darling.
I love Fleming.
I actually really like everybody on this show. We make fun of everybody, but this is one where I legit actually like all of them.
Yeah, I mean, the beginning of the season, I was a little down on Marissa because it seemed like she was being persnickety, but
she is persnickety, but I like that. I like that about her. And I like that Juliet's such a dum-dum, and she's like so insecure and like, meh. And I like that Julie's so insecure and nervous and worried about pleasing people. Oh. And Annabelle doesn't give a fuck about anything except Alexander. I loved finding out that Annabelle has Alexander as her Twitter bio. I mean, stuff like that. Like, you just can't replicate shit like that. You know, that's pretty amazing. I love the show. All right. So now after the dinner dance, which, by the way, I wanted to ask about manners here because,
yes.
I have none. First of all, and also Marissa
eats with his hands.
Yeah, they're all talking about manners. And Caroline Fleming is so worried that mommy and daddy will be there. And what about the manners? And then the first thing she does is she's like, Julie, darling, my great great granddad, dad killed yours. I'm like, why is that worse than like talking about your feelings? Like talking about murdering somebody's family member is okay as long as you don't talk how you feel about it.
I know. Isn't that funny, Julie? Well, it's almost as funny as this aquavit that you're drinking. It has a funny flavor to it, doesn't it? It's quite good. I like it.
Well, people don't eat sandwiches that are alive, so thanks.
Julie, have you ever thought that we could merge our families and you could serve a red cabbage sandwich? Think about it.
Julie,
what a wonderful flavor.
We've wanted to merge the Montagues and the sandwiches because, frankly, Craigslist doesn't bring good help for Nigel anymore. And you're very good with a mixer.
Julie, do you smell that? That's properly cooked hot chocolate. Isn't it a wonderful smell? Do you like it?
Julie was working with Niles, who accidentally dropped a KitchenAid mixer on her head. And now we are the Fleming Tagues. Oh, what a wonderful story. Okay, so now they're in the ballroom doing some kind of dance competition. And Sophie is just shit-faced, falling on the ground, drunk, dying. I've taken so many screenplays and gifs of this. And then Annabelle's like, oh, that Sophie can get pissed. I mean, I like her. She's a nice girl and everything, but she can get pissed. Whoa! Like, hello, rock and roll. That's called rock and roll over there. The one on the ground, all right?
You know, she's not doing the proper box step. What does she think she's doing? This is rock and roll. This is rock and roll.
She's so pissed she forgot how to waltz. Rock and roll, Sophie! It's like the 80s equivalent of sniffing a line off a Duke's arse, darling.
No, excuse me while I do a foxtrot to Mozart. Rock and roll!
So Sophie and Julie, I guess, are both wasted. Who knows with Julie? She's always acting kooky. Who knows?
Yeah.
But they get wasted, and at one point, Sophie is so drunk, they're like, okay, darling, let's move to a different room. Like, that's going to change anything.
Yeah.
So they move her, and she sees a mirror, and she goes up to the mirror, and she goes, oh, I've never been so sweaty in my whole life, but I'm still hot! Oh, thank God, I'm still hot! Love it.
How lucky are you? She is still hot. And you know what's funny? In that scene, I noticed something about her face, and this is not to shame her or anything like that, but I always think that Sophie is just so beautiful. She is so hot. And I guess maybe she didn't have as much makeup on, but for the first time ever, I saw her face, and I was like, I can imagine what she would look like if she had like a little mom haircut and dowdy clothes, because, you know, she's probably in her early 40s, and it's like, because she is wealthy, she has this beautiful, wonderful hair and this wonderful dress, and it makes her look young and sexy. And if she was like poor and dowdy, she would look so much older. Wealth really does make you look young. It does.
Oh, hell yes, of course. I mean, that's why all these housewives bitches are afraid of being poor. I mean, most of it is just that they have hair and makeup people. Life is not worth living once you've gone from that just to waking up and going to Whole Foods in your underwear, yeah. basically. Like, you
yeah,
just
and
can't
I'm not
go
saying that she looks old or that she looks ugly, but, you know, it's just, you know what, the other day I was in Fuddruckers, as one does, and there was a girl walking through. She probably was 24. She had a mom haircut and a baby hanging off of her chest, and she looked like she was 37. I mean, styling matters.
Oh, yeah,
good
totally.
Good for you, Sophie.
Yeah, yeah.
Good for
you,
Sophie. You
look good, girl. Keep it up.
We love Sophie.
Also, everybody else out there, don't have children. They just ruin your life, your face. No, I'm just
or
kidding.
A mom haircut. Please don't get a mom haircut.
I love the style. Well, moms who actually have to be there and take care of their children, get mom haircuts because the kids are always pulling it out and you're getting barf
like
in your hair and you're getting, yeah. you know, it's like it's utilitarian. They're not doing it for
here's what I say. Get a
fashion
swim cap.
Reasons.
Get a swim cap, stuff it up there and then take it off at the end of the night. But don't get a mom haircut, please.
Get a wig, darling. Let them barf on the wig or better yet, a butler. Just get an intern. Everybody start your own home business and just be like, I need an intern to take care of my baby.
Valentina, let the baby pull your hair. Valentina.
Next week, the scenes. Now, I didn't write down all the next week. Don't worry, because we're trying to tighten this time up. But next week, the best is that Caroline has no job now, so she has to be at home with her children. And her daughter is like, I want more, mommy. She's like, darling, that's enough. Stop eating. No, I want more. She's like, ugh, fatty. Mike, next week, Caroline's child gets an eating disorder. Girl power eating disorder! And I'll be excited. Ladies of London, we can never skip you. Love you like crazy.
So good. So good.
Also,
oh,
we can't skip
back.
Because we have another huge show coming up this next week because we have Real Housewives of Atlanta returning. Yeah. We have the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills preview that was on, because you know we have to talk about that. That was just released.
The trailer.
The trailer, yeah. And then, what's the other show we do on that day?
Vanderpump Rules and Ladies of London.
Oh, my God.
Maybe we'll do Vanderpump Rules.
We don't do Ladies of London on Tuesday, do we?
You're right. I'm sorry.
So, yeah, we've got another big week full of lots of crazy nothing
après-ski.
To talk about.
Après-ski.
Oh, no, we're skipping that week to do... something else. We talked about this.
We'll
talk about that off the air. You guys don't have to listen to that shiz.
Who knows what we'll talk about? Maybe we, you know. How about this? Why don't we discuss après-ski a little bit in the bonus episode? How about that? amongst other things.
Well, we'll see how it is. I'm not ready to commit to après-ski.
We're gonna lose 50% of our subscribers. Wait, what?
That's no, what? Yeah, I'm like, no, yeah. You don't put the best stuff there. Well, I don't know. I'm not sure if anyone's committing to that show yet. We'll have to see how that crazy flower blooms.
Après-ski is the best stuff. No. We'll figure it out, everyone. Listen.
Yeah. I did on
just
accident.
All you guys have to do is just show up, and we'll take care of the rest.
Yeah, just show up. Come over to watchwhatcrappens.com to find our latest episodes. And also, feel free to go over to facebook.com/watchwhatcrappens and talk crap with us all during the week. And patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens for subscriber extras like the weekly bonus episode, ringers, and hangouts, and all that good stuff. I can't believe it's already November.
Amazing.
My God, everybody, we love
you. So fun. This was such a fun episode. I'm glad we did it, Ronnie.
Me too. I'm glad because I was like, let's just wait till next week. And you said, no, it's worth it.
I was like, they're in a castle. This episode is just too funny. It's not even that the episode was so funny. It's just I knew that it would make us laugh just joking about it.
Yeah, to us, it's funny.
It
was one of
the good ones. Lucille Ball.
Church room. All right, everybody. We love you. Thank you so much for listening to the show and for your support and always for talking back to us online. We always love that stuff. So you guys have a good one, and we will see you next week. Love you.
Bye.
Bye.